Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yo! Welcome to Tuesday here in New York City. Evan and Tiki on The Fan. This is a jam-packed show. Coming up a little bit later on, a brand new game called New Team Who Dat. It's an educational game. We are going to guess. Sean and I, Lugie can take part as well. Tiki will be the game host. We are going to guess where NFL players signed during the offseason because we all forgot.
Yes, and I get to host it because I'm supposed to know.
That's right. He's
even
a football
guy. I also have no... No, I'm supposed to know because I cover games.
That's right.
And half of these, I'm like, really?
So that's coming up a little bit later on. Another edition of Posted and Toasted. The great Al Dukes will join us. Al is very upset with our radio show for our handling of the Craig Carton discussion yesterday. So because we're fair and balanced, and I love to hear all opinions, Al will come on, rip us a new tuchus, and then I'll try to defend us. So that's coming up a little bit later on. But this is the time of year I like, because as the marathon pauses, the baseball season is a marathon, I think it's okay to kind of breathe in the fresh air, look around, and reevaluate. And one of the things back in late March that was on everybody's mind, everybody was thinking about it, was, is this Pete Alonso's last year as a Met, and is this Juan Soto's only year as a Yankee? And during the All-Star break, you may have heard it yesterday, we'll play some clips if you missed it, that's all Juan Soto was asked about. That's all Pete Alonso was asked about. Hey, do you like New York? Hey, do you want to come back? So here's where I stand, Teak, and I'm curious about the temperature of the Met fan and the Yankee fan out there. Twofold. A, do you want them back? And B, do you think they're going to come back?
I mean, it's obvious. Met or Yankee fans want Juan Soto back.
I agree. I think that one's an easy one.
It's an easy one.
Yes.
I think it is. It's getting, I don't want to say complicated, because I think for the most part, most Met fans do want Pete Alonso back. But I think there is now a caveat. There is now a, but only if he's going to take this much less than he probably wanted.
Right.
Because you don't go hire Scott Boras unless you want to break the bank.
Sure.
And so he wants to break the bank, but he's not having a season to break the bank.
He is not. So I think twofold. Number one, you're right. For the Yankee fan out there, I think universally every Yankee fan wants Juan Soto back. I don't think we're going to hear from any Yankee fan who says, you know what, he's a fraud, he looks for too many walks, I don't want him.
Never will you hear, or you hear, that's too much money.
No, you won't hear that.
At all.
You will never hear that. So I think for the Yankee fan, it's more, how do you feel? Mm-hmm. Like, are you confident he's going to come back? Because he said something yesterday, and it's not a surprise to me, because it's the thing I stressed to Sean, it's the thing I stressed to you, and it's not me talking trash about Juan Soto, it's the reality of Juan Soto, which is that he is a highest bidder kind of guy. That while the Yankees were smart for trading for Juan Soto because it gives them a better chance to win this season, I was never convinced it gave the Yankees any kind of significant home field advantage. That at the end of the day, when Juan Soto gets to free agency, and I was always convinced he was getting to free agency, he was never signing an extension after the trade, he was never signing an extension during the middle of the season, he was always going to elect free agency, that Juan Soto was just going to be one of those guys who's going to re-explore the market during the offseason and in all likelihood go to the highest bidder.
And that's exactly what's going to happen. Because what he said yesterday at the All-Star break was exactly why you wanted to bring him in. I'll give you the perfect example.
Yes.
Montez Sweat. This is football, but it's a similar principle. He got traded in the middle of the season to the Chicago Bears. And it didn't really make sense for the Bears because the Bears weren't winning anything yesterday. But when you go and you listen to their general manager, Ryan Poles, and you ask him, hey, Ryan, why did you trade for Montez Sweat when your team wasn't ready to win right now?
Right.
His response, because we wanted to re-sign him and we got a head start on re-signing him by trading for him in
which
the middle of the season.
Makes complete sense.
And by the way, they re-signed him like a week later.
No doubt.
So you got a head start because you targeted the guy you wanted. It was like you got a new draft pick and you signed him before anybody else had a chance to have a conversation with him. That's in theory what the Yankees were trying to do with Juan Soto.
See, I don't think the Yankees were ever trying to do that. I think the Yankees were trying to win this
season. Even if it's not primary.
Gotcha.
When you trade for a guy and he's in your building, and he understands your culture. He gets to play with the likes of Aaron Judge and everybody else that's supposed to be great there, Garrett Cole, etc. Then maybe he starts to feel a part of something, and even if it's just a little thing in the back of his mind, you have an advantage.
Well, yeah, the
Texas Rangers don't have, like, he has no idea it's like to play in Texas.
I agree.
He has no idea what it's like to play anywhere else.
I always thought that it couldn't hurt by having him in that room, everything you just said. But at the end of the day, when you turn down the money he turned down from Washington a few years ago, and you've got Scott Boras as your agent, and you're this close to free agency, you're going to go to free agency, and you're going to try to break the bank. Now, here's one thing Juan said yesterday that jumped out at me. And again, to me, it just confirms what I already thought, which is you're not going to have a home field advantage. It's nothing against the Yankees. It's not negative towards the Yankees. It's more, hey, yeah, I'm here, but I'm going to be a free agent. Here's the question asked to Juan Soto, and here's his answer.
How much is what's happening with the Yankees this season going to factor into that decision?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to affect any of my decision. Whenever we're there, we're going to sit down and look around. But right now, I hope to win another championship with the Yankees. We're trying to do our best, and that's what we focus on.
So what I heard there was, it's going to have nothing to do with it. What happens this season is going to have no bearing
on what I decide. He said, I don't know.
Well, that's a nice way of saying no.
Well, I don't know is a nice way of saying nothing unless we win a championship.
I don't even think that would make an impact.
I think it would make a huge impact.
Based on that answer, I'm not thinking of it. I'm trying to win a championship now, which is his focus, as it should be. But I don't think like anything that happens, good or bad, really changing.
Yeah, but if you win a championship and it just feels amazing and the team at its core is still going to be the same the next year, don't you run it back?
I get
paid a gazillion dollars and just run it back. Doesn't that make sense?
It makes sense in theory, and it makes sense if your name is Jalen Brunson, and maybe it makes sense if your name is Tiki Barber. Juan Soto, and I got no issue with this, is making it very clear he's just going to want every dime. Mm. And that's why, if I'm a Yankee fan, it's not that my confidence level is low. My confidence level on keeping Juan Soto is exactly where it was in March, exactly where it was in January. It's, if the Yankees make the highest bid, they'll keep him. If they don't, he'll be gone. Now, you, who's decided to come to work for the first time in 12 days.
Hey, welcome back, man.
Thanks, man. Where were you 2 weeks ago, Ev?
I was on vacation.
Yeah.
Where were you yesterday?
I'm just dealing with rodents.
More on that later, by the way. We have some great audio clips from him dealing with quote-unquote rodents. But you were always a believer in, hey, just get him in the room. There's no way they'd lose him. Again, my opinion hasn't changed. It's squarely, this is going to come down to money, and Juan basically told you that.
Yeah. Did we not learn anything from television last week and Joe Shane? I think it's pretty obvious that Scott Boras is in the mix with all of his clients at the All-Star game. Hey, Juan, you're going to meet the media. Here are the questions that are going to be asked to you. We've already had Hal already this season say that he would like to strike up negotiations and Boras answer. When you get asked about the Yankees, just don't even mention anything about a hometown discount because we want to milk them for every penny anyway, even though you want to stay there. We'll figure this out. Don't give them any edge. And I think that's all that happened.
So just a coached up answer.
A coached up answer. And I think ultimately my confidence is sky high because I still go back to March or whenever the hell the trade happened. And I think back, Hal knows that he's a free agent at the end of the year. Hal knows that there's going to be bidders, including the Mets, looking for his services. He knows he can't trade for him, trade big prospects, and not have the confidence that they will have the money to get it done.
The difference I see with Juan Soto is that Aaron Judge ultimately, and this shouldn't be forgotten in light of the Jalen Brunson news, Aaron Judge took less money to stay. Okay? And I think
Different.
With what?
In terms of Juan Soto is a way different free agent than Aaron Judge.
Just that's Aaron the point Judge I'm about to make. Right. Yeah, okay. I agree that Aaron Judge ultimately took less money to stay. It may not have been on a Jalen Brunson level, but it's also a very different sport, and it's situated very differently.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Aaron Judge took a little bit less money because being a New York Yankee meant something to him. And I think a lot of Yankee fans love that and respect that. I do not get the vibe that Juan Soto is going to do that. I think Juan Soto ultimately is going to play the game, and he is going to break records, and he's going to ultimately sign for every last dollar. And the 1 year with the Yankees, I don't think is going to be enough to get him in the position that Aaron Judge was in to say, you know what, I'm going to talk you one-on-one, let's just make it.
And I'm not even suggesting that that's going to be the case, that being a Yankee is going to feel so good to Juan Soto that he's going to take less than what the San Diego Padres are offering. That's not... Not that they would, because obviously that's who they got rid of.
Nah, you're doing the judge example,
right, yes. Exactly, yes. Because that was who Judge got the higher offer from. But that's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is that he now has a familiarity with the New York Yankees and what it's like to play. And if they win here, if they mess around, I'm not saying win a championship, but just win ultimately, maybe even get to the ALCS, and it just feels like, man, this team has something here, and they're going to pay me? Then that gives me an advantage as a Yankee fan.
Ultimately, as I take your temperature on July 16th.
I think he's still here.
You feel better that Juan Soto stays than maybe you felt a few months ago?
Honestly, the same.
Same feeling?
It's still the same.
Same feeling of confidence.
Same feeling of confidence. There's nothing that's indicated that he's looking elsewhere.
Well, the only thing that I guess you could read into is, you know, Sean brought it up earlier that Hal made the comment about a month or two ago, I'd love to open up negotiations right now.
Yeah.
And we quickly found out, which you should have known, which is that's not an option.
Yeah, but
they're not open to talking about that.
And by the way, if I'm Juan Soto, I'm saying, Hal, go scratch on that.
I agree.
All right, I don't know you. Right? I don't know how fair you're going to be in this negotiation, because I have no one to bounce it off of, at least or parry it against, because it's closed. It's just you and me. It's not you, me, and eight other teams. So if I'm Juan Soto, I'm sure he didn't say this publicly, and maybe Scott Boras did, but I would say we're not interested.
Right?
Talk to us after the season. We're not interested in having a negotiation before the season's over. That puts you as a player at a disadvantage.
Of course, and when you're this close to free agency, you go all the way. So as I sit here today, my confidence level that the Yankees successfully re-signed Juan Soto sits in a very similar place. A little bit above 50%. Yeah. I give him about a 60% chance. Now, as far as Pete Alonso is concerned,
this is different.
I actually am more confident today
that
Pete Alonso will be a Met long term than I was when I was growing my beard and freaking out in March.
Why?
I'll tell you why. I'm glad you asked why.
Because I think it's the other way.
You think it's more likely he's gone?
I think it's more likely that Scott Boras, he wants to be here. I'm not putting words in Pete Alonso's mouth, because If words were coming out of Pete Alonso's mouth regarding this topic, he'd say, I want to be a Met.
And he said it yesterday. I love New York. It's all I know.
He
I don't
wants
want
to be
traded.
A Met. Yeah. But the reality is his agent is Scott Boras.
Yeah.
So unless he all of a sudden has control over that agent, which nobody does, I think his chances of staying a Met have decreased.
I think they've increased, and I'll tell you exactly why. Pete Alonso, and we all know it, has not had a great year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He also didn't have a great home run derby, as we all saw last night. Pete Alonso has not had a Pete Alonso year. And I understand and respect my fellow Met fan who probably yelled at me about this 5 months ago and said, hey, guys, hey, Evan, specifically, I'm concerned about a Pete Alonso decline. I think you've got every right to have that concern because his numbers have declined. There's no denying that. Okay? But I think that decline that he's going through right now is doing something else.
What's that?
It's killing his value. I was always afraid that all it takes is one team, one baseball team, whether it's the San Francisco Giants or the Seattle Mariners or you name it, to give Pete what he wants. Here's 7 years. Here's $225 million. And that's always my fear in free agency. It's why I was nervous DeGrom was going to be gone. And guess what? One team made the offer, and he was gone. Pete is struggling. Pete's analytic numbers, whether it's defensive metrics, whether it's his WAR, it's not great this year. And I can't see another team, forget the Mets for a second, I can't see another team breaking the bank for Pete Alonso. Would you agree with that?
Yes, but that's not where my concern comes
from. But if that's the case, if you agree with part one, which is his market is taking a major, major hit. Well, when your market takes a major, major hit, you end up settling for the team that values the most. Well, this is a franchise that has a chance to have a guy hit 500 home runs on their team as a Met for the first time ever, not counting Gary Sheffield. And there's a value to that.
Now, is
that value $200 million? No. But there's a value to that that other teams don't have. So the more Pete struggles, as much as that causes soft-backed Met fans to say, I don't want him anymore, because they're so damn reactionary to it, as much as it makes you, and you out there, you know who, you know how you feel about Pete. Now you don't love him anymore. He's not having a great year. He's not that clutch. All the rhetoric you want to throw at me that you email me at thericob@gmail.com. All of you people. Despite all of that, it benefits the Mets. Because because the Mets are still going to value him more than everybody else. And that's why today, and it kind of sucks because I wish Pete was having a great year.
Yeah.
I wish he was an MVP right now. I wish he was Aaron Judge, like Steve Cohen said before the year. But it actually, when you think about it, makes it likelier that he stays on a reasonable contract.
I see it a little different. I see it because I still can't help but hear the words of David Stearns that we are evaluating, that we are looking at how to make this team its best self now and for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And if Pete Alonso continues to struggle, let's say he has the exact first half, second half as he does the first half.
Okay.
It's obviously shorter, but let's just say he only hits 15 more home runs.
Okay.
And it's a small number for him. It's 33.
He finishes with a sub-800 OPS for the first time in his career.
Yep, his batting average, it stays below 250. It looks like he's washed because it's a couple years in a row now. And David Stearns starts to say, God, is he really the future for us? Do we really want to give him any kind of a long-term deal if he's not the guy that we need to be that banger? There's other guys we can go get. Or there's younger prospects we can rely upon, or someone we can trade for. I feel like there is this, and it's an off chance, but there's a chance that because he's been so bad in moments, last year in particular, this year, maybe not so much, but still not great, that David Stern says he's not part of our future plans.
He's not part of our future plans if he's insisting on 7 years. But if he has to settle for a 2 or 3 year deal, which I'm sorry, it's on the table, folks. Like all of a sudden, and this is where Evan from March would have yelled at Evan from July.
Yeah.
I would have said, Evan in July, you're being delusional. He's hitting 240. He has a 770 OPS. His home run numbers are down. His OPS numbers are down. Like his doubles are up. That's great. His batting average is up. That's great. But overall, he has been a slightly declining player. That means he's going to have to settle for less than what he wanted. And less than what he wanted may be right in David Stern's alleyway to say, you know what? That's a reasonable deal. We'll bring you back.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating to just know or speculate what David Stern's number is. Because it's not going to be $35 million.
No, I don't. But you know, Pete's playing his way out of it. And that's why this is such a weird juxtaposition, because I want the Mets to win. And Pete Alonso performing at the level.
Well, I think that's the question. What comes first?
What
winning like they are now. And again, we had this conversation very briefly yesterday, but it's worth resetting, because if you start talking about why the Mets have turned it around and what's making them so successful over the last month or so, it's 5 or 6 people before you get to Pete Alonso.
Okay.
And
that doesn't mean you're going to automatically kick him to the curb during the offseason.
No,
it means
I'm
not
be
saying
that.
But to give him 7 years.
Yeah, but isn't there a value in being a part of the solution that he's not right now?
In the first half of this season, he has not been. But he still has hit 19 home runs, and he still is capable of breaking out of it in a huge way. Like, all I'm saying to you is, while I wish Pete was on pace for 50 home runs, and I wish he was having a monster walk year, him not having a monster walk year has increased the chances that the Mets keep him. That doesn't mean I'm rooting for him to struggle. I want him to have a big year.
Or it makes it easier for another team to steal him.
How?
Because if the Mets go low, because they don't, that's the value that they have on him, then someone else doesn't have to go as high.
But if that value isn't that high, and a team is only willing to give Pete, let's say, 3 years, $75 million, the Mets will likely, I think they will likely, match or beat that. Look, when we talked about this whole situation in February, and I was getting yelled at by people, and I said, screw it, just give him an extension now. Maybe there was some fanaticism in me. Maybe there was some fandom in me. Maybe there was some, I got to get rid of this freaking beard in me. Ultimately, the Mets made the right decision, right? Because he can't get that contract now. So they will be able to bring him back on a much more reasonable deal than if they try to just work out an extension with him in January or February. And that's where I will raise my hand. I don't mind doing this and say, I was wrong. If they caved in the way I wanted them to, and they gave him 7 years, $200 million, which I thought was a fair deal, what would we be saying about that contract right now?
Good thing you're not the general manager.
Well, have I ever said I'd make a great general manager?
No, you have not. You just proved it.
Thank you. No, all I've proven is that Sean gives me crap that I only remember certain things that I want to remember. Like, I was busting his balls off air about I was reminding him of a conversation we had on the air recently where I ripped ESPN for comparing Anthony Volpe to Gunnar Henderson, like they were on the same planet. And Sean argued with me, and I reminded him of that discussion. And Sean and Loogie does this all the time, too. They're like, oh, yeah, Evan, you only remember what you want to remember. And that's crap, because I just brought up me being an ass in being too fanatical in giving Pete Alonso whatever he wanted. So I call myself out for mistakes, and I just did. And I'm glad I'm wrong. Now I just hope the Mets get him on a two-year, you know, $38 million deal. That's not reasonable. 2 years, $52 million deal, which is what he may have to settle for.
Can you imagine?
After all that, a two-year deal?
I know.
Not happening.
What's not happening? You think he's getting a 7-year deal?
I think Boris is holding him out. He's not letting that happen.
Yeah. Okay, so now you bring up a very fair point, and this is why I had to cut my beard. Thank you for saying this. There's a chance that Pete free agency goes into next March.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's a I admit that. But ultimately, like we saw with Blake Snell, like we saw with JD Martinez, just because you take it to March doesn't mean you win.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I'll console Met fans on, because I know there are some Met fans who are going to bring this up. I've heard it discussed. Well, but Evan, what if they sign Juan Soto? What if they sign Alex Bregman? What if they sign Corbin Burns? I do not believe that would keep a 3-year, $75 million deal for Pete Alonso off the table. I don't think like once Steve Cohen spends shekels on this, he can't necessarily spend on that.
This is why when you talk about Juan Soto staying with the Yankees, it feels pretty clear on how it gets done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you start talking about Pete Alonso staying with the Mets, it gets a little cloudy.
I agree. It's complicated.
It gets very, very complicated.
But that complication has helped the New York Mets. Okay. And that's why I am more confident today on July 16th than I was on March 16th when that stupid beard kept growing.
We also don't have the full story on Alonso yet. We don't know the full season yet. He's on pace for 40 home runs. You say he's declining. I don't think he's declining. His power numbers are still there.
Well, hold on a second. Let me just answer that because he is declining. And you're right that in the second half of the year, he can go off. Of course, that could change the equation. And I hope he does, by the way. I hope that every point I'm making today gets nullified by the fact that Pete hit 28 home runs in the second half of the year. But if you look at his numbers and you look specifically at his OPS, which I think is the most telling statistic for an offensive player in a lot of ways, he is declining. And his power numbers are way down. Last year he had 46 home runs. Mm-hmm. Right now he has 19.
He has 21 doubles this year. Right now he had 21 last year.
That's one stat in which he's definitely gone up on. But I'm mentioning OPS, home runs, and RBIs. And I think you'd have to admit those are pretty damn... And slugging percentage. Those are all really important. And for the last 3 years, those numbers, those main ones that I bring up, and you know I'm not cherry picking. I have no reason to. I love Pete Alonso. Those numbers have declined.
But if he gets
to 40... going to be a negative going into free agency for him if
it
continues.
Really interesting because you talk about the doubles. I mean, that's slugging, right? Doubles, extra base hits, that's slugging. So he's had a career high in doubles at this point in his in the season, yet his slugging percentage is still down.
Yeah.
So that's why numbers lie to you.
Yeah. And that's also, Evan, I think the bigger picture of this is you keep going back to 2-year deals, something like that. Ultimately, if Pete Alonso does wait to out, goes, plays 1-2 years, it ain't going to be with the Mets because the Mets, based on Steve Cohen's pockets and this being the offseason, will move right along. And mm-hmm. if that's a plan where it's Bregman at third, Vientos
disagree,
at first.
Because I don't think they would move along. I think they would try to get other players, Juan Soto being one of them, but I don't think they would necessarily fill that spot that Pete Alonso would vacate. I really think it, and it's a weird spot to be in because, especially that brief argument Loogie and I had, I'm not trying to bring down Pete Alonso. I love Pete Alonso. I mean, who loves him more than me? I grew my damn beard for the guy. I'm just being honest about what's happening right now and how, in a weird, twisted way, it actually benefits the Mets. But we'll get to your calls. Yankee fans on Soto, Met fans on Alonso. Al Dukes will join us in about 35 minutes. We got another edition of Posted and Toasted. We'll mix in some football talk, including the breaking news surrounding Brandon Ayuk, who has demanded a trade. Is that somebody that could interest one of the local teams? We'll get to your calls in a second, but for anyone who watched the Home Run Derby or had a pulse yesterday, you heard about the national anthem by Ingrid Andress. And it was ridiculed. It was just ridiculed as the worst national anthem of all time. She came out on social media in the last hour saying that she was drunk last night. She's checking herself into a facility today to get help.
Good for her.
Very much good for her.
Because that's exactly what I thought.
Is that what you thought when you watched it?
That's exactly what I thought. Not even like joking. It was, man, is she drunk? Because it was so bad.
Okay, I apologize for what I'm about to say. And this is not an apology to Ingrid. It's actually a compliment to Ingrid, but it's an apology to you and everybody listening. So I heard there was a bad anthem. And I said, oh, I got to watch it now because I was going to be on DVR. Right. So I go and I watch it, and my first reaction was, I've heard worse.
Like, no, there have been worse.
I didn't think it was that bad.
You know whose was worse? Carl Lewis was his worst.
Oh, yes. I think Moose played that a little bit earlier. Right. But yeah, that's an epic one. So yeah, she apologized.
He's not a singer, though. So
She's a Grammy-nominated person.
Yes.
So Ingrid apologized, and she's checking herself into rehab, and we wish her all the best. Can I read a tweet from Howie Rose, or is this inappropriate?
No, do it.
Howie hasn't deleted it, so it's public record. Howie was very critical last night of Ingrid's performance, as was every single person on social media. So in response to this post that she's checking into rehab, the not controversial Howie Rose tweeted, I will make sure my ears say hi to her. They're in rehab, too.
Ouch.
Ouch. Crap.
We hope that she's okay in rehab.
Yes.
That she gets the help that she needs.
We wish her all the best, as well as I wish the mentions of Howie Rose all the best, too. Because, I can only imagine what's going on in there.
Right.
But I honestly didn't think it was that bad. And this is nothing to do with what she said today. It's just, I guess the expectation was, wow, I'm about to hear Roseanne Barr singing. And when I heard it, I was like, okay, she took a risk. And it was that.
She just sounded lost. And then I reheard it this morning. I was listening to The Block. So Jonesy was going through it, and she was like, yeah, she said the same thing you did.
Right.
Like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, she tried to take some, you know, creative licenses.
She said
the same thing. Tarsha said the same thing on The Block this morning. It was funny. And then she comes back later and is like, wait, hold on. This girl is Grammy nominated. I can't give her a pass.
Yeah.
And so it was bad. But now we all understand why.
Now we understand. We wish her the best. We've talked about Soto and Pete Alonso. They're at the All-Star game, and they're being peppered with the same questions we were asking back in February and March. Where is your confidence level that both guys are going to return? I feel this exact same way about Juan Soto as I felt in March, but Pete's bad year has actually given me more confidence that he's going to be a Met at least for the next couple of years. We get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Don in Milford. What's going on, Don?
Hey, guys, I just wanted to ask you what you thought Judge's role in the negotiations are, whether it be the track record of the Yankees lowballing him or him now sitting next to Soto and being an advocate and almost like an inside agent.
It's interesting. I would guess he's not that involved, but if he does give any kind of advice, it's let it play itself out, right? Don't take the low ball offer.
I think that's
from personal experience.
Yeah, I think it's the opposite. I think he's going to have a great impact, but I think the great impact is going to work this way. We clearly see that Aaron Judge is a captain and a leader, and we've even joked, wow, he has a lot of say in this organization, looking at some of the changes they made during the offseason. I think when this season ends, no matter how it ends, whether it's in the first round, the LCS, the World Series, wherever, Aaron's going to sit down next to his partner, Al Steinbrenner, because they're basically partners nowadays.
Right, so it's more on the ownership side.
Yes, and I think he's going to look straight in the eyes and say, you better not lose him. No. I think that's where his impact's going to ramp.
You're probably right. He was asking, though, relative to Soto. I don't think he's involved from a Soto.
From that aspect, I think it's zero, different agency. I think Aaron knows he's got to get his, and it's up to each individual player to make that decision.
Yes.
But I think where Aaron's going to have an impact, and this is where I agree with Sean and other Yankee fans, it is not acceptable for the Yankees to not have the highest offer. Like, especially, you just told me off air, Sean, about this report in terms of the rankings of MLB teams in terms of how they spend their revenue back on payroll. So how would you phrase it? Did I phrase that correctly?
Yes. So basically the amount of money they made in 2023 and how much of it went into the payroll in 2024.
Now, where do the Yankees rank on that list?
18th in baseball.
Now, that's not good.
Yeah. And I'm out here to count. 46.5% of their revenue went back into payroll.
And who's number one in baseball?
The Mets. 87% of their revenue went into payroll.
Which, by the way, makes a lot of sense. Right. They have the highest payroll. They don't bring in nearly as much revenue as the New York Yankees. So I know people may hear that and be stunned, but it actually makes a lot of sense. But my point is this. Aaron Judge is going to say to Hal, it's not acceptable for you not to be the highest bidder.
Yeah, and I think they will be. Right. I think that the thing that Hal was saying was more along the lines of, we're going to sign this free agent to a high contract or big contract. even if it's short. We're going to sign this guy. And so, though, that's untenable. Mm-hmm. I think that's all he was saying.
And I
didn't hear what he was saying is saying, we're not going to spend the whatever it takes to keep Juan Soto.
And that's the part Yankee fans need to brace themselves for, which I've already come to peace with. They're going to sign Juan Soto. You could put it at over 50%. I think it's like 95%.
95?
What they're not going to do is sign a singular other free agent, and you're going to get the likes of Yorbit Vivas up here playing second
base. By the way, that's a completely different discussion, but to be at 95%,
yeah,
that is... going to free agency? I don't think I've ever been 95% with anybody going to free
think
agency.
Think about it. The Yankees, in their history, have never not retained a free agent they've wanted. I know this is a once-in-a-lifetime type free agent. And on top of that, traded him knowing he was going to be a free agent, not coming by surprise at how much it's probably going to cost. They know it's also more of a PR. It's actually a bigger PR nightmare to lose him than it would have been to not trade him for him to begin with.
If Aaron Judge just said, I want every dime, and when Hal said, hey, we'll offer you this now, and Aaron said, I'm sorry, you got to match this $400 million offer.
Hal would have caved.
You think he would have caved? Okay.
I do.
Because that's my follow-up to that. Because if he wasn't, Aaron's gone.
Hal would have caved. But he was just trying to do business. I think he would have caved.
Do you think, I don't know if Aaron's gone. I think Aaron was used it as a negotiating ploy.
No, I'm sorry. Obviously, Aaron wanted to be here. I'm saying if Aaron is the way I think Soto is,
I see.
He would be gone.
Yes.
So when you use the example of they've never lost a free agent that they truly, truly wanted, look, where I kind of differ is I think they wanted Robbie Cano back. I just think there was a line in the sand where they said, that's too much. And I wonder if there would be a line in the sand with Juan Soto, whether it's $650 million or not.
I think Hal is too smart a businessman deep down. People might laugh at that, that I think they would have never even traded for Juan Soto had Judge asked for more, and they knew they had no shot at signing Soto.
Ray from Waterbury, Connecticut. How you doing today, Ray?
Hi, guys.
What's up?
It came clear to me from both interviews, from both players, that seems to me that Pete regrets asking for what he asked for. I think he would have taken what they offered him last year. So I think he's practically telling them, I'm open to come back. As far as Soto, I think there's a price where Hal says no. And I think this one player now for Uncle Stevie, this is one lifetime player. At 26 years old, he'll shoot for the moon for this guy. And Hal's not going to match it. And I'll tell you what. I know Sean says it's 95%. I give it 50-50. And I give the Mets the edge. Here's the reason. If why didn't Hal lock him up early in the season?
He had no chance to. No. That part is not fair.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it's a toss-up. It's 50-50. I completely agree with something you also said earlier, that this is like a once-in-a-lifetime free agent. He's right about that. If you want to look ahead, don't. I'll save you the time. There's nobody like Juan Soto that's entering free agency in the next couple of years. Like, this really is a unique experience. So I totally get the, hey, Steve's going to shoot his shot. Totally get it. And I understand the whole 50-50 thing. But you can't say the Yankees had their chance to keep him. They never had a chance to keep him.
No.
He was never re-signing before free agency. Never. No matter what people told you, it was never a thing. Ever.
And, dude, it feels like Met fans, including him, and I know you guys like this too, you're focused on this season, but there is like a strong inherent belief, it feels like, for Met fans that they're going to swipe Soto here. And I don't think many have come to terms with the idea that let the Yankees do this and chase him up, and Cohen should absolutely make Hal go up there. It's going to benefit the Mets in the long run because the Yankees are going to bow out on everybody over the next 5 years, and the Mets ultimately probably build a better team than the Yankees if they sign Juan Soto.
Well, maybe,
because Hal has basically said that.
Yes.
We're not spending anymore after this.
Okay, but the counter I'd have to that is that's a spin job for when you lose. Again.
What do you mean? By Hal?
No, by anybody, by a Met fan. If a Met fan is going to say, and I'm not going to say it, I promise you this right now, I'm not going to tell you on December 10th, you know what? The Yankees kept him. The Mets made a huge bid. But really, this is a victory for the Mets because
I'm a Yankee fan.
Okay, I'm telling you, I completely disagree with that point.
I think it's just a spin. You're right.
It's a spin because most free agents are past 30. Most free agents are just things that you're excited about in the middle of the winter, and they're not the best investments. This player in particular is different.
He's the unicorn.
He's the unicorn.
Because
he's
so young. He's so young getting the free agency.
Yes.
Which is very rare in baseball. I mean, Judge was 30
yes.
when he hit free agency.
And most guys are. So I will promise you this, and you can save the tape. I would never spin for the Mets, Yankees, or anybody else. Ah, you know what? You're better off not keeping Juan Soto or signing Juan Soto because you can use your money elsewhere. On what? 32-year-old free agents that may be good in the short term but won't live up to the long-term nature of a guy who's 25, 26 years old?
But, Evan, all seriousness, what is a better team next year? The team of the core we know the Mets to be right now, adding, let's just throw two guys out there, Bregman and Corbin Burns.
Okay.
Or they add Juan Soto, nobody else, lose Alonso, et cetera, et cetera. Or the Yankees adding Soto, literally losing Gleyber, which is no big deal, not adding anybody for the next 5 years. Give me the stock on the Mets in that spot.
No, but you're comparing two different teams that are different. The way I would frame that question in a fairer way, and you could ask this to Met fans, you could even ask it to Yankee fans. Would you rather sign Juan Soto and not sign Bregman and Corbin Burns, or would you rather just keep Soto? And my answer, whether I'm the New York Yankees or the New York Mets, would be Juan Soto. That'd be my answer.
Okay.
Because I think long-term, he would be the better play. And I love Corbin Burns, and I think every team should go after him. He's the rarity when it comes to a starting pitcher that I'd be willing to give a long-term deal to. But even he's going to come with risk.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same Gerrit Cole risk that you talk about. Eventually, it just happens. For whatever the cause is, it just happens.
Let's go to Mike in Middletown. What's up, Mike?
How you doing? Let me preface this by saying I'm a Mets fan.
Yeah.
But if they signed Soto to a $600 million contract,
yeah,
how is Judge going to feel knowing this guy's making twice as much as him?
Tiki?
I don't think he's going to. It's not going to bother him. I mean, Judge's deal was 2 years ago. And you realize, I mean, it's different in baseball than in football. But in football, you sign a big deal, an enormous deal. You know that literally the next year someone's going to sign a bigger deal.
But you know what the difference is in football?
It's not on the same team. Yes, I got it. But still.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
What?
You can renegotiate it in 1 year.
Right. True.
You it's don't true. Do that in baseball.
True. It's true.
That would be my big counter to you about that. Because you're right that your contract quickly gets like outbid by somebody else. But then you pull up Brandon Ayuk and say, I'm not showing up to training camp until I get a new contract.
Yeah. And now he's not. And he wants to get traded. I don't think that Aaron Judge is the type of player or the type of person that's going to let the fact that Juan Soto could be making 15, 10, 15 million more a year than him affect his relationship with Juan Soto. I think he's too much of a professional.
Yeah. So I said to you about 5 minutes ago, Aaron Judge likely during the offseason, right as the offseason begins, sits down with Hal, looks him in the eye and says, you better keep this guy.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge is not an idiot. He knows what it's going to take financially to keep him. Mm-hmm. And if you ask Aaron Judge, okay, your ego may be bruised because this guy's going to make double you are. And it's not really double. It's just, it sounds that way if you get $700 million. But this guy's going to make significantly more than you. That's choice A. Or choice B, he's gone. And you don't have him protecting you. Well, he's not protecting him in the lineup. Hitting in front of you.
Right, right.
What do you prefer? I would think, as big an ego as Aaron Judge may have that we're not aware
of. But I don't think he has that ego.
I don't think he does either. But even if he did, wouldn't you still prefer to have the great player on your team? Because it gives you a better chance to win?
Yes, yes, and yes. It's not even a question.
Yeah.
And so it's something that and athletes don't necessarily, because some do, but most don't count other people's money.
Mm.
They just don't. It's your responsibility and your good fortune to negotiate with your coach or your organization, and what you can get, you get. It has nothing to do with me as the outside teammate or other athlete in the league or on the team. So I don't think he has that kind of mindset, Aaron Judge.
No, and I think he knows.
It would surprise me if he did.
Yeah, I would too. And I think you got to know going in.
Yeah.
The only way you're keeping this guy is by paying him a record amount of money.
I'll reset. It would shock me if Aaron Judge cared.
Yeah, I don't think it would. I agree. Josh is calling from Selden. How you doing today, Josh?
Hey, how you doing? My question is in regard to Juan Soto and free agency. And maybe Tiki having some contract negotiations will have some insight. How much does state income tax play a part, especially if you're in the bidding war with Texas or Florida?
I mean, it is part of it, but you got to remember, we had this conversation earlier last week. You're taxed where you play. So, yeah, it's a big number because you play in New York, but there's still a lot of those games where you're out of state, so the state tax rate, federally, you're getting hammered anyways. But state tax rate, it depends on where you play. And so it's a big deal, but it's not a huge deal. Well, it's not a difference maker.
If you are, and I'll use the Texas Rangers as the example here, or the Houston Astros, mm-hmm. I guess it doesn't matter. If they're bidding against the Yankees and the Mets for a Juan Soto or Pete Alonso, and you explained this before, and you just kind of did, like, it's only the games you're playing. So it's 81 dates that you're playing in Texas versus the other 81 dates that are in various states. Some have high tax rates, some don't. How much money is that really saving you if you're Juan Soto? So if you're Juan Soto and you sign a mega deal with the Rangers for $700 million, how much of a difference is that from the $700 million with the Yankees?
Yeah, you could do the math, and I told you I would do it, and I never did. But
I'll make my dad do it. He's a CPA.
Right. It's probably a good number, but is it enough? I don't know. That comes down to the player.
Yeah.
First, being in New York and or being in Texas.
And you need that team to bid.
Like, yeah.
I think Soto's going to have a lot of bidders. I think a lot of teams are going to go after him, even some teams that you don't think would, because I think he's such a unique free agent mm-hmm. that there would be franchises saying, hey, this is going to be my one big investment.
Right.
This is going to be the one guy I'd be willing to pay that money for. So I don't think we're looking at a three-team bidding war. I think there'll be more teams because I think teams realize, holy crap, this guy's really good. He's really young and all that. But you need a team in a city or state that has that as a weapon. I don't know if the Texas Rangers are one of those teams. I don't think the Houston Astros are. So who are those teams?
Yeah.
Like, the only teams we've accepted that are bidding on Juan Soto are the Mets and the Yankees. But trust me, there will be others. It may come down to the Mets and the Yankees.
You got to believe the Dodgers are going to throw their hat there some capacity, right?
The Dodgers?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
I mean,
could you freaking imagine?
The answer is no, but I couldn't have imagined that they were going to give Yamamoto that much money either.
And remember, Juan
after
Soto.
After Ohtani.
And Juan Soto the other day was asked what superstar player he'd like to play with.
Yes, and it was Ohtani.
And he said Shohei Ohtani. Oh, God. Mm. That would be the worst. I'm going to make a list of teams I don't want to see Juan Soto on.
That would make Major League Baseball have to change the rule.
Nah, well, it's too late. There's no rules to change.
They would do something else.
There's nothing they can do.
It would make them have to turn the Dodgers into the Cubs and play day games so people on the East Coast can actually see them.
Yeah, seriously, take advantage of the TV ratings they get. Now, I wouldn't be worried about the Dodgers. I have a feeling. I'll give you a sleeper team. I'll give you a sleeper team. Mm-hmm. Ready for a sleeper team?
Go ahead.
Toronto Blue Jays. Because they've been terrible this season. They tried to get Ohtani. And I think they're going to get into that desperate mode. And if they were willing to give Shohei Ohtani all that money, why wouldn't they be willing to give Juan Soto all that money in all those years?
Yeah, less.
He's a younger player.
And it's probably going to be less than what they were going to necessarily have to pay Ohtani.
Yeah. Mario's in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's going on, guys?
We're good.
Yeah, great show. You know, to your point that you said earlier, Tiki, about if he wins a title here, it's going to make a difference. I believe so. Now, if you look at the numbers, say somebody, it's 12 years, 600, somebody gives $700 million. 12 years, only $8 million a year. Let's not forget that the Yankees are not only a regional brand, they're one of the biggest brands in the world.
Right.
You're going to make up. You're going to make a lot of money. You could even probably make up that extra $100 million in commercials. You could have commercials with Judge. And at the end of the day, we're going to look back if he stays with the Yankees. We're going to compare him to Maris and Mantle. Will be Judge and Soto.
But you know what I wonder about? And I don't know if you can figure out this answer. It's probably just pure speculation. The Yankees, from an attendance standpoint, basically sell out every game.
Right.
Okay? They make a ton of money on their local TV deal. Everybody makes the same money off the national TV deal. How much more money will the New York Yankees in revenue bring in with Juan Soto on the team versus him off the team?
I think a lot.
The Yankees are such a super brand
asset. I still think a lot.
Really?
Because it allows you to market to the Hispanic market, right? It allows you to market to, I don't know, just different. You can do different stuff marketing-wise when you have like an iconic league-changing type player. It's why, let's face it, the Dodgers spent over almost $1 billion this offseason, right? Because think of the markets they're going to tap into. And if you go to Japan like I was a couple years ago, like only thing anybody wanted to talk about and regarding baseball was Ohtani.
Mm.
That's all anybody cared about. Not Judge, not Mookie Betts, not Scherzer, not anybody. The only person they cared about was Shohei Ohtani. And so if you're the Dodgers and that's your asset, in a sense, then think about how much you can market to that populace, to the Asian market. And it changes the economics of your business It's so huge.
Well, then, if the Yankees want him, they are capable of it. Look at the revenue they have.
Yes.
Sean gave that list earlier. They are 18th in baseball in terms of reinvesting their revenue into payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is a guy, and you're right about what you're saying, and I trust you, that he means that much financially, not just the ability on the field, then they would have absolutely no excuse.
Right.
It's why they can't lose him.
And that's not even counting the winning. Like, if you go win,
right?
Like, win a mess around and win a championship, then it really gets out of control. So I think it's a huge, huge investment, but it's so worth it.
There's two teams we haven't mentioned. One I think is really realistic. The other one's a very deep sleeper. The Orioles, you know, they want to spend, and
absolutely,
they love that
and
coup.
They now have a billionaire owner.
Mm-hmm. And before Sean laughs, the Tampa Rays. They did offer Aaron Judge a contract, and there is no state income tax.
Well, that's the weapon that the Rays do actually
true,
have.
But they don't
they
have,
did offer they, Judge
do,
a
they
good
have
deal.
The revenue?
They offered Judge $300 million.
Yeah, but they were so far away from what it was going to take.
And I know,
that's really
but
what it comes down
deep sleeper.
To. Yeah. How much? No, by the way, I don't think he's crazy. Like, but hold on, Sean. There's a difference between getting him and being
the
a factor.
The Judge offer for $300 million, though, was more years, correct?
It was 10 years, $300 million, wasn't it?
Right.
I think that's what it was.
10 years, $300 million was the Tampa offer to Judge.
So, Sean, as you laugh at him, I guess what I'll ask you is...
It's $10 million less per year. That's a big... That's a lot.
Yeah, but does that count? Like, they clearly were below the Yankees, but they made an offer. Does that count?
I think every team in Major League Baseball should make a substantial offer. The problem is they're never going to go to $600 million just because of the income tax.
I agree with you about that.
It just sounds like a guy who made awful announcing twice last week that wants to do it again.
No, come on, man. Can you give him some
credit? No, I gave you Orioles, which, by the way, is a real threat.
True.
And then I gave you Tampa as don't sleep on them. They offered money to Judge.
Right.
They have the money.
The Orioles are a real one. And the Orioles are the one nobody's talking about.
Do you
because
count?
Nobody remembers who the Orioles owner is now.
Right. He's a billionaire. He can if he wants to. Do you count the Rays bidding 10 years, $300 million as a deep sleeper?
No, because it's going to cost more than $300 mil.
No, that's not my question. My question is,
like,
when we look back at the Judge sweepstakes, do we now look back and say, hey, the Rays were a deep sleeper, they offered 10 years, $300 million, or do you just completely throw it aside and say, well, they never had a chance, they weren't serious anyway?
I throw it aside. I really do.
Then he's at least being consistent. But I think the Rays probably do a similar kind of thing. Where they're like on the periphery of, you know what, let's offer him $500 million. Well, guess what? $500 million is not going to be enough. I think he's right about the Orioles. I think the Red Sox reemerge one of these days as a big market team and spend. I think the Chicago White Sox are so desperate right now, considering how pathetic they are and their stadium situation, where maybe they make a big offer. The Chicago Cubs, the San Francisco Giants. I think there's a lot of teams. But ultimately, here's the great news if you're a Yankee fan. The Yankees have the ability to give him whatever the hell he wants. As the number one revenue team in the sport, they can do it if they want to, and they better want to. More of your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. When we come back, one of our fellow coworkers who's mad at us will allow him to state his case and respond. The great Al Dukes.